Okay, we are going to talk about today the power of being thankful, because it is the door to everything. It opens the door to everything. Now, all of us, if we just think about it in our natural mind, you know, we really want to be thankful people. But how many of you know that the enemy gets up every day? Well, actually, I don't even think he goes to bed. But when we get up every day, he's already there sitting on the side of our bed trying to make us think about things we need to worry about. Or if we went to bed mad, things that we're mad about. Or if something scary is going on in our life, something to be afraid about. And so being thankful, a lot of times, just don't become the first thought when we wake up in the morning. And so we lose the power that could be operating through us all day long, because power flows through thankfulness. And it opens the door to all these good things in our life. We're going to talk about four of them here in the morning. But I just wanted to say, if you're not a person that wakes up every day and your first thoughts are being thankful, then there are many different ways that you can fix that problem. You can, one thing is you can get a book on thankfulness. I have this one, The Power of Thanksgiving by Joyce Myers. And when you get up in the morning and you first begin to talk to the Lord, have some kind of a reminder to start your day out being thankful. Start your day out, because what it does all through the day, it opens up all these levels of power in your life. And if we don't make a conscious effort to do it, it just won't happen. You know, you don't have to do anything to have a garden full of weeds, right? But if you're going to have flowers, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do a lot of something. You're going to have to do hard something. You're going to have to really work if you want a flower bed full of flowers. But if you want weeds, you just don't do anything, because weeds just happen. But so if you want the good things in your life that bring peace and joy and all the wonderful life that Jesus brought, you're going to have to do some things. They're not just going to happen. It's not just, we're not going to become thankful and walk in the power of thankfulness. It's not going to just happen. We're going to have to do some things to make that happen in our life. So we're going to talk about just four of them today. I've got several scriptures that I want to get through, so I'm going to kind of go fast. Is that okay? And when I hit a scripture, it says in 1 Corinthians that God has caused the light to shine out of the darkness into our hearts to give us the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And so I didn't quote that exactly right, but that's part of it. That one's a hard one to quote, but it's one of my favorite scriptures. But when you're listening to the Word of God or you're reading the Word of God, the light shines on certain scriptures in your heart. And what it is, it's kind of like the prayers you pray, Lord, cause your face to shine upon us. Well, you know, the face of God is the Word of God. When you want to look at Jesus, you go look at the Word. It's the only part of God we can see with our natural body. When you're looking in the Word, you're looking at Jesus. And the way He causes His face to shine upon us is the Holy Spirit takes that Word and it brings illumination. It brings revelation. It brings knowledge of something that we didn't know what to do or how to do. And so as we're going through these scriptures today, I believe that the light of Jesus that comes from the face of Jesus, which is His Word, is going to shine on you here today. And you're going to know when a certain scripture is for you. So you write that scripture down and you meditate on it. And that'll be the one that the Lord will take. You know, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, what we want to do is we want to get free from laziness and not doing the things that we should do. And we want to live an extremely thankful life, because it releases power in every area of our life. Okay, Psalms 101, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Now, this is the famous Thanksgiving psalm. But I want to tell you a couple of things about this. Number one, this is a commandment psalm. It's called a teaching psalm in the Bible, because it's going to teach us something really important that we need to know. But for us to be able to get the power from this, we're going to have to do what it tells us to do. So therefore, it is a commandment psalm. Now, you remember when God told the children of Israel, He brought them out of Egypt, that He was going to take them into a land flowing with milk and honey? Well, you know, He actually did do that. But it also, that was very symbolic too, because coming out of Egypt in the Bible is the same thing as coming out of sin. That's when you come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's your salvation experience. That's what coming out of Egypt is the symbol of in the Bible, is, your salvation experience. And so when coming out of Egypt, or coming out of the kingdom, Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom, said he's going to give us a land flowing with milk and honey. All right, well, what the milk and honey is the symbol of is milk is what makes us strong. Milk is what makes our bones strong physically. And honey is what makes us sweet. So what the milk and the honey is in the Bible is the milk is the promises of God. Because the promises of God are the nature of God, it says in 1 Peter. And God, when we know God's nature and we begin to operate in that nature, it makes us extremely spiritually strong. If you know God is the healer, then you know that he's going to heal you when you're sick. If you know that he's the forgiver, you're going to run to him forgiveness when we sin. If you know that he always is good and always does good, you're not going to blame him for all the evil things that the enemy's doing. You're going to kick the devil out and thank God. See? So the promise of God give us the nature of God. That's the milk. That's what makes us strong. Well, the commandments are the honey. They're what make us sweet. And you say, how can commandments make you sweet? Remember when you were a kid and every time your mama told you to do something made you mad? And especially when you got to be a teenager, it made you 10 times madder? Because we don't think about commandments making us sweet. But you see, every one of the commandments of God, Old Testament and New, are love. And what makes you sweeter than love? If everything that we do is in love, that's the sweetest thing there is. We want people to always love us, right? But we don't necessarily want to always love other people. We want our way. So what the commandments do is they make us sweet. They make us like God. God is love. So this is a commandment psalm. So let's go through them. Do we have this up on screen? Can you bring that up for me? Psalms chapter 100, verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all you live. All right, that's a commandment. So every day we're to get up and make a joyful noise. And the reason it says noise is because all of us are not gifted singers. Most of us, when we sing, it's just a noise. But it's okay because that's what God said do. Make a joyful noise. So what is the first thing, word, out of your mouth when you wake up in the morning? Oh, my gosh, I cannot believe it's time to get up. Man, when my clock went off at 6:30 this morning, I just couldn't believe it. Seemed like I just went to sleep. And what I wanted to say is not what I said. What I said was, Holy Ghost, help me. Help me wake up. Help me get up. Help me not be late. That wasn't what I wanted to say. What I wanted to do was gripe and murmur and complain because I didn't want to get up. Who wants to get up before daylight? That's just absurd. I am not a morning person. My husband springs out of bed with a wide-eyed bushy tail, wanting to talk 90 miles an hour. We are birds of a different feather. Took him a lot of years of our marriage for him to realize he better not talk to me until I'm ready to talk. Because it won't be a good day. When we first got married, he'd get a feather and tickle me under the nose and wake me up in the morning. I'm telling you, it didn't take but a couple of times knocking him out of bed before he realized that wasn't a good idea. Morning people do not enjoy getting up before daylight. Early to a morning person is 8:30 or 9 o'clock. That's early to a person that is not a morning person. Now, I don't mind waking up earlier than that, but I want to lay in bed and pray for an hour before I get up. So anyway, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So the first thing out of our mouth should be joyful. It should be, thank you, God. Thank you for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And thank you, I woke up breathing. Thank you, I woke up as a house that didn't burn down on me during the night. Thank you that there's food in the kitchen. Thank you, all of my children got home safe last night. On and on. We could go for an hour just thanking God for every good thing that we have right when we wake up. Then verse number 3 is our next commandment. Know that God, that the Lord, he is God, and that he made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So the number 2 thing that we do in commandment is when we wake up, we know we do not belong to me. I don't get to make my decisions today. Now, wife have this doubly because we belong to a husband. Men, they kind of, it's God and them. Women, it's God and husband and then us. And then children have it worse. It's God, husband, mother, children. To get to make the decisions of what we're going to do today, right? So we wake up and we know that we belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. We're not going to make our own plans today. We're not going to make our own decisions today. We're not going to run our life and rule our life. We're going to, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. In all of our ways today, I'm going to know God, that You are God. You made me. I'm Your sheep. And You have a wonderful plan for me today. And it's going to be a wonderful day. And then the next commandment, number 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. See, the word gates in Hebrew is actually the word thoughts. And the symbolic meaning of gates is your mind and your authority. Gates are authority. The gates of a city was where the leaders would sit, and they made the authority who came in and out of that city. And most cities back then only had one gate, so that when they were under war, they could shut that one gate, and the enemy had no other way in. And so the leaders and the elders of the city would sit at the gate, and they made the decisions at the gate. They decided who came in and who went out, and that's what your mind is. You make the decision what's coming into your mind today and what's going out of your mind today. You have the authority of your mind. Now, the devil thinks that he has the authority. So what he'll do is, during the night, he'll give you a dream that'll scare you half to death. So the first thing you wake up, when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about that dream, and fear is your first thought. See, but Satan don't have the authority to do that. He can only do that if we let him. Oh, man, I had the worst nightmare the other night. And I woke up, and the first thing out of my mouth was, devil. Jesus said He didn't give me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I probably had to quote that scripture 20 times that morning before that spirit of fear left. Lord, You didn't give me the spirit of fear. You gave me power, love, and a sound mind. I know this was from the devil. It's from the pit of hell. And it can just go right back where it came from, because I have authority over it. I refuse to live in fear. I refuse to think about that dream again. I refuse to operate in the spirit of fear, because I have authority over you, Satan. And so, when we enter into His gates, we're entering into His thoughts. If you want, when you first wake up in the morning, if you want to be on God's VIP list, the first thing you do is wake up and say, thank You, God. We enter His thoughts with thanksgiving. We don't come into God's thoughts murmuring and complaining and sinning and talking bad about other people and plotting revenge on people and complaining because we don't have what we want. That don't bring us into God's presence at all. Thanksgiving brings us right into the presence of God. So when we wake up, if we want to enter right into His presence, we come in by giving thanks. And we enter into His courts with praise. We are thankful to Him, and we bless His name. Now the word bless, there's two words for bless in the Bible. One of them is the word happy. And that's not this word. The other one means to bend your knee and give something to somebody. That's what that other word bless means. How many times has God blessed us? Jesus bent His knee and came down to this earth and died for us. And we've been blessed every day because of it. Every day of our life we live in the blessings of God, because He came and gave us His very life. And our salvation and our healing. But what do we give Him? Everything that we are. Everything that we are. We wake up in the morning and we say, God, this is Your day. Thank You. Thank You. I want to give my life to You in a more powerful way today than I ever have before. I want to give You all my thoughts. I want to give You all my love. I want to give You all my attention. I want to be a good wife and mother because it pleases You. I want everybody I work with and everybody I'm around, I want to be a blessing in their life so that they can know You. So be thankful and bless the Lord. Bless His name. Number 5, next commandment. No, this is not a commandment. It says, for the Lord is good. Everything good comes from God. It is amazing how much of the Christian world believes that God will do something bad to them to teach them something. That is from the pit of hell. God is always good. And if we're walking through something bad that the devil brought on us, God's going to turn it for our good. He promises that over and over. His mercy is everlasting, leolam, forever. Mercy in Hebrew is the highest form of love. It's not what the English word mercy means. The English word mercy means to help somebody that can't kind of help themselves, or forgive somebody that did us wrong. But that's not the meaning of the word in Hebrew. It's the highest form of love. That's why it says God is love. And His mercy or His love will last forever. See, when we leave this life and we go on to the next one, it won't be very long until we won't even remember this life, because it's just like a vapor. But the good things that He has for us throughout eternity are so great. We can't even imagine them or fathom them. And then we want to hold on to this life like it's, you know, some great thing. Well, it can be great while we live here, but it's nothing to the one we're going to live forever. And His truth will endure to all generations. Generation denotes family. Parents have children. Children grow up and have children. His truth is going to always be there. But the wonderful thing I love about this is He's going to reveal His truth to my children and to their children. Because see, the most important thing that Jesus gives us in this life is our family. We are responsible for our generation. You know, the Bible says David served the Lord in his generation. We don't get up every day and live our life for ourselves. We live our life because the way we live it. Number one, because we love God. Number two, we are influencing our generation. How does our generation see us? Murmurers and complainers. You know, the Bible says New Testament murmurs are destroyed by the destroyer. It says in the book of Psalms, when I complained, I was overcome of the enemy. When, see, murmuring and complaining are the opposite of praising and giving, being thankful. So when we're living our life in a way, just our normal get up every morning and do it, we are influencing our generation. The people that see us, they either are hearing us murmur and complain, talk bad about our government, bad about authority. I am just shocked. I am way over the hill. And the generation, the young generation now, I am shocked at their hatred for authority. It just blows my mind. I was talking to a child the other day that went to Victory Christian School, was taught the Word of God all their life, talking bad about how bad all policemen are. I was shocked that that generation thinks all authority is evil. It's just the authority. It's not whether they're a policeman or a governor or a president or what. It's all authority. That generation thinks all authority is evil. It's scary. Those of you that are my age remember when all authority was right. We highly respected authority. We did not talk bad about authority. We loved authority. It's just such a different world than I grew up in. I'm just about to outlive my usefulness here. I just can't think like this generation. It's so far removed from me. But the people that live in that generation, they've got to reach that generation. Those of you that are young, you got to reach your generation. And I feel sorry for you. Oh my goodness, it's such an ungodly generation. Oh my goodness, it's scary to think how much the young generation hates authority, and God is the highest level of authority. So you have your job cut out for you to reach your generation. But where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. So you young people will be 10 times greater preachers than what we are in my generation, because you'll have so much more grace to preach to your generation. So the first thing I want to say is thanksgiving takes a heart of surrender. For you to get up every day and be thankful, you've got to have a surrendered heart. Because our mind and our body does not want to wake up thankful. Our mind does not want to thank God when our boss mistreats us. Our mind don't want to thank God when our spouse is mean to us. Our mind don't want to thank God when we get in trouble. We get a ticket for speeding. You want me to tell you a good thankful joke? Y'all might have heard this one. There was an old man driving down the freeway. One thing about us, when we get old, our reflexes are not near as fast. Any old people identify? You can't get that foot on the brake as quick as you used to if you're speeding. So this man was driving down the freeway, and he looked in his rearview mirror, and there was a blue light. So he went to step on the brake and he accidentally stepped on the gas. So he took off down, and this cop took off after him. When he finally got his legs working good, you old people identify, he got his foot on the brake and he pulled over. So the cop walks up to him and says, he says, "I am tired and it's been a long day and I'm 5 minutes off my shift. If you'll give me one good reason why I shouldn't give you a ticket. You give me one reason good enough why you were speeding, I won't give you a ticket." And so he said, "Well, a year ago, my wife ran off with a state trooper. And when I looked in the mirror, I thought you were bringing her back." So he didn't get a ticket. Thankful. Thankful. You can thank John Hagee for that joke. So to have a thankful heart, it's going to be a surrendered heart, because nothing about our natural man wants to be thankful. Everything about our natural man wants to murmur and complain and blame other people for every problem in our life. We want to blame the president because of the economy. We want to blame the economy because we can't buy groceries. We want to blame our, you know, everybody. We just want to blame everybody, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Eve blamed the snake and Adam blamed Eve. We just want to blame somebody else for every problem in our life. And we're really good at it, you know. But see, it takes a real disciplined heart to surrender to the Word of God and obey the Word of God. Hebrews 13 says, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Key to that word, continually. "That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks." It's not enough to think it, you got to say it. So many people in relationships think their partners ought to know how they feel. It's not think it, it's say it. "The fruit of our lips giving thanks." That's so vitally important to having a surrendered heart of thanksgiving. It says, "I will bless you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up, and you did not let my enemies rejoice over me. For I cried to you, and you healed me. You brought up my soul from the pit, and you have kept me alive so that I will not go down to the pit. I will sing to you, Lord. Sing to him, O you saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." So all the things that God's done for us, we are commanded to be thankful. If he didn't do anything else but just save us, every day we should say, "Thank you, God. I'm no longer in the kingdom of darkness. I am in the kingdom of light." That takes a surrendered heart to obey the Word of God and to use our mouth to be thankful. Philippians 4 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Jesus." That's a lot of words to say. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything and give thanks, and God will give you peace. If you're not walking in peace, it's because you're worrying. You're not praying and being thankful. Because if we're praying and being thankful, the Bible says the peace of God, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, will come and guard our heart and our mind. We don't even have to do it. He does it. All we've got to do is pray with thanksgiving and don't worry. Pray with thanksgiving and not worry. And the Prince of Peace comes and guards our heart and our mind. Isn't that a wonderful promise? But it takes a surrendered heart to not worry. You know, some families are just worry families. If there's nothing going on to worry about, they'll make up something. Or they'll call somebody else that's got a problem so they can worry about their problem. People that are natural born worriers, they just can't feel good if they're not worrying. And see, there's no peace in that. No peace. Don't worry about anything. Pray and give thanks, and the Prince of Peace will come and guard your heart and mind. Okay. Colossians 1, "Give thanks to the Father, which made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. For he delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." We can just quote that scripture all day long and be thankful. Thank you that you took me out of the kingdom of darkness and put me in the kingdom of light and forgave all of my sins. See, that takes a surrendered heart to think that instead of thinking about what somebody's doing to us or how we don't have enough money or what are we going to do. Psalms 16, it says, I am your servant. I am the son of your headman. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I will call up to you and I will pay my vows in the presence of all your people. Now, where are you going to give thanks to God in the presence of his people? In church. In church. So when you wake up and on Sunday morning, you don't want to go to church, then you don't have a surrendered heart. Because the Bible says we're going to come to the house of God and we're going to give thanks to him in the presence of all of his people. Jonah, I love this one. Jonah says, I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay the vows that I've made to you. Anytime you see the word vows in the Bible, what it's talking about is your marriage vow to Jesus. Everybody knows what a marriage vow is, right? You and you only. You and you only. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. Well, that's what, when you see the word vow in the Bible, that's what it's talking about. When you got saved, you made that vow to Jesus. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. So then the Lord spoke to the fish and it went and vomited Joseph up on Jonah up on the dry ground. So when Jonah got filled with his murmuring and complaining and hating the Ninevites and decided to obey God after he got inside the belly of the whale for disobeying God, all of a sudden he became real thankful. But the good thing about it is he became thankful before he was thrown up, or he wouldn't have got thrown up. So if you're in the belly of the whale and there's stink all around you, you probably need to get thankful so you can get thrown up. Because as long as we murmur and complain, it's just going to put us in a mess. In a mess. But being thankful delivers us. Okay. Colossians 2. So you have, as you have therefore received Christ, walk in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith like you've been taught, and abound with thanksgiving. Like you've been taught. Abound with thanksgiving. See, being thankful is not an option to being like Jesus. It's not an option. I have a bunch more scriptures here, but I'm going to skip on to point two. Let me give you one more. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You don't say for everything give thanks. Don't say give thanks because I've got cancer. It says in the midst of that battle, give thanks. In everything you go through, give thanks. Because that's what turns that battle from bad to good. That's what in the book of Genesis says, Satan meant it for bad, but God turns it for good. So in every situation you're in, see, when things are bad, it's just human nature to murmur and complain. But if we do, that bad situation never gets turned into good. So we have to make a choice. If we're going to obey God and in everything give thanks for it, this is the will of God. The will of God is for us to give thanks in every situation. Not every situation that we're in is not the will of God. Do you understand? If you run a red light and get hit, that's not the will of God. But in that situation, you can start thanking God for delivering you and he will bring you out. You see what I'm saying? We get ourselves into a lot of messes through our sin. But in the middle of that mess, if we'll start thanking God for his deliverance, he will always deliver us. Okay. I'm going to skip from those and I'm going to go to number two. A heart of thanksgiving is a heart that will change. Being thankful will change your heart. It will change your heart. And when your heart's changed, your life changes. People that are murmurers and complainers, even the Bible says that they'll start drawing up with arthritis. It dries up your bones. Being bitter and critical and unthankful dries up our bones and causes us to start having arthritis. It affects our whole physical body when we're negative and bitter and complaining and unforgiving. But see, when we're thankful, the Bible says all the good issues of life flow out of a thankful heart. They flow out. So when we're thankful, then it causes the peace of God to come in and start ruling our life. Psalms 26, I hate the congregation of evil, and I will not sit with the wicked, and I will wash my hands in innocence. That's the blood. I'll wash my hands in the blood of Jesus, and then I'll come around your altar, O God, so that I can publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all the wonderful things you've done for me. For I love the habitation of your house and the place where your honor dwells. See, when a person becomes thankful, they begin to love all the things of God. They love being in the house of God. They love talking about the things of God. See, being thankful changes our heart. And if you're around people that all they do is murmur and complain and talk bad about people and talk bad about things, see, you need to get away from those people because they will corrupt you. The Bible says evil companions corrupt you. And you need to get around people that are always thanking and worshiping God, that love the house of God, love to be in the house of God, where the glory of God dwells and where His honor dwells. It will change your heart. Let me skip on down. I don't have time to go through all these. Let me just get down here and just hit a few of them. In Romans 1, it says, because once they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. And they were not thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart became darkened. They professed themselves to be wise and they became fools. You see the progression when you're not thankful? It says, once they knew God, they weren't thankful. Drop down level. And so then they became vain in their imaginations. All their thoughts became worth nothing. And then drops down another level. And then their heart became dark. See? Then it drops down another level. And they walked around talking about how wise they were, and everybody knew they were a fool. And if you want to read the rest of that, go to Romans chapter 1. It goes on down how they became depraved. And they turned the glory of God into an animal. They didn't really turn it into God, but they started worshiping animals. And then they became homosexual. Men lusting after men and women lusting after women. And on down it goes. So I'm telling you, having an unthankful heart is a wide open door to the devil. It's not just something you can choose to do or not do. If you don't thank God, you're opening the door to the next level of darkness and the next level of darkness and the next level of darkness and the next level of darkness. See, I know I'm being really serious this morning on a Thanksgiving Sunday, but it's really that serious to not be thankful every day. Habakkuk 3 says, even though the fig tree does not blossom, and if there is no fruit on the vine, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields yield no meat. That's just like you can't go to the grocery store and buy beef because of the drought, you know. Fruit is so expensive you can't buy fruit. The flock is cut off from the foe, and there are no herds in the stall. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation, for He is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet and make me walk on high places. So, see, having a thankful heart changes you so much that it don't matter how bad it looks around you. It don't affect you. You don't care if beef goes up to $5 a pound. God's going to feed you. You don't care if grapes go up to $10 a pound. God's going to feed you. You do not look at the circumstances and murmur and complain. You worship God because He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the one that sends the rains to make the harvest come in. And I'm His child and He's going to feed me. He said, the Psalm said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never begged for bread one day since I got saved. And there was a time we were the poorest people in this church. 40 years ago, we had four little children, and the church was paying us $50 a week. And my husband was working three jobs to feed the family. And we were poor. We never missed a meal. Never begged for bread. Because God always takes care of His children. So we're thankful. We're thankful all day long. All right, let me skip on over to number three. Having a thankful heart opens your heart to receive all the wonderful gifts from God. Now, we could sit here from now till next Thanksgiving and not list all the great gifts that God wants to give us every day, everywhere we look. We're just going to talk about a few of them. Thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. What does that mean? It's so great we just can't explain it. There's no words to explain the great gift that Jesus gave us, number one, when he saved us. But then he healed us, and then he delivered us, and then he gives us the desires of our heart, and on and on and on we go. Lifts us up above our enemies, on and on and on and on we go. All the wonderful things, and I have a whole page of wonderful things he gives us when we get saved. And I'm not going to have time to read them, but you can go to your Bible and read them. Let me read one or two. In John 11, it says, and when they took the stone away from the place where Lazarus was, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you because you heard me. And he said, I know you always hear me, but I'm only saying this for those standing around. How many of you believe that every time you talk to Jesus, he hears you? And if you're asking something the Bible says you can have, he gives it to you every time. Heard a lady say the other day, she was so glad God didn't answer all of our prayers, she would have married the wrong person three times. When he don't answer a prayer, it's because he knows it's going to destroy us. And that is his love. But wait until we ask the right thing. Any of you ever asked the wrong thing? Oh, I can't tell you. I could tell you some funny stories, but I won't. Okay. When we get to the place that we know Jesus always hears us and always answers, because we only pray what the Bible says, then we just thank him all day long. Thank you. You just pray and you say, thank you, God. I know you heard me. I know you answer. Thank you, God. I know you heard me. I know you answer. Thank you, God. I know you heard me and I know you answer. Such a wonderful place of joy and victory. It says, I will give thanks unto the Lord because and my horn or my strength shall be exalted and I will be anointed with fresh oil. These are all gifts from God. My eye will see its desire upon my enemies. Don't you love it when you see healing from cancer? Cancer is your enemy. It's not your friend. Don't you love it when you see your healing? You know you're healed before you're healed. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. We will grow up. We'll be planted in the house of the Lord and flourish in the courts of our God. These are all things that God give us. We will bear fruit in old age. That's all of us old people's favorite scripture. We will still be fat and flourishing so that we can show God is upright and he is our rock. Thank you. Thank you, brother. In Matthew 15, it said, Jesus took 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples. So how did Jesus get that miracle? 2 things. Faith and thanksgiving. He believed God would do it. God did it. And he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And then in John 6, it says, and other boats came to the place where they did eat after the Lord gave thanks. Have you ever noticed that? That place was called the place where they ate the meal where Jesus gave thanks. How important is that? They got that miracle meal because Jesus gave thanks. Isn't that awesome? You see the power of being thankful? Here's another one. It says that when Paul and Silas were in prison and they'd been beaten, and what'd they do? They began to praise and thank God. And the earthquake came, shook the prison doors open, and they were free. Now, do you think that would have happened if they'd have been sitting there murmuring and complaining? Talking about how bad they were hurting from their stripes? I don't think it would have happened. See, miracles happen when we're thankful. Miracles happen. It opens the door to receive all the wonderful things. Being thankful opens the door to all the food we need. Opens the door to our children being saved. In that same place right there, when they got out of prison, they went to the jailer's house and his whole family was saved. Them being thankful that night in that prison saved that whole man's house. And it'll save our house. See? And all the gifts. Sometimes go through the Bible and look up all the gifts that come from being thankful. I love this one. 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. What a gift. Victory. You know what the Greek word for victory is? Nike. Isn't that funny? The word Nike is the Greek word victory. He don't give you Nike shoes and clothes. He gives you victory. Thanks be to God. It is always his will for us to win the victory. 2 Corinthians 2 says, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. In Christ Jesus. You know what the word triumph means in Greek? To sing and parade up and down the road showing your victory. So that means you're always going around, number one, singing and praising God and telling everybody what God did for you. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. That means just press around and sing and show God off. All right, let me get to the last one. We got to go. I have so many more here. Number four, being thankful gives us a heart to become what we were created to be. I'm telling you, God's plans for us are so much greater than we will ever imagine. His plans for us, He created us to be something wonderful and great on this earth. Very few people reach that in their lifetime. You know why? It takes them so long to find God. Then when they do find God, they're not disciplined enough to get into the Word and find out what they, all the things that they have. And then one day they get old and they realize they don't have enough time left to be that great thing that God. That's why it's so important for children to be raised in the house of God and told from the day that they were born that they were created for greatness. There's nobody like any of us in the world. Nobody was created like us with our gifts and our callings. Nobody. And that's so that we can be the greatest person on the face of the earth that's called to do what we're called to do. You are the only one that can do the great thing that God called you to do and gifted you to do. Nobody else can do it. And if you don't do it, it won't be done. Because there's nobody else like us. And see, when a child starts hearing that from the time they're born, they start looking for that destiny and that greatness. Every one of my children, the day they were, well, actually, I told them way before this born, you are born to preach the gospel. And I don't care what else you do in your life, you're going to preach the gospel. Men and women makes no difference. There is no male and female in Christ. And you were born to be great in the kingdom of God. And y'all probably don't, but I think they're the greatest kids in the world. And I think they married the greatest people in the world. But every parent should feel that about their child, because that's how God feels about us. That's exactly the way God sees us. When I go to worship Him, He tells me, you are my greatest child. And I say, you're my greatest God. And if you go to God, He tells you the same thing, because He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He is Jesus to me. Because He's everywhere. He's with me all day long. Omnipresent means He can be everywhere at the same time. He's with me. When I get into eternity, me and Jesus are going to go places and do things by ourselves all the time. Because He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. We're going to visit the universe. We're going to swim in the oceans. We're going to surf. We're going to water ski. We're going to snow ski. We're going to dance in the biggest ballrooms in the world. Just me and Jesus. Because He's the greatest thing in my life, and I'm the greatest thing in His life. That's the way He feels about me. And I'm going to be everything that He wants me to be. And I don't care 2 cents whether anybody likes me or not. I don't care what you say about me. I do not care. Because Jesus thinks I'm perfect. And that's all that matters to me. That's all that matters to me. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But I just don't need your approval. I'm thankful if I have it. And I'm thankful if you love me. But it ain't going to change me whether you do or don't. Because Jesus thinks I'm perfect. And He loves being with me. And I love being with Him. And so, being thankful brings us into the thing that we were created to be. In the book of Revelations, it says, we were created for His pleasure. Every day my goal is to bring Him pleasure. That's why I was created. Because He sure brings me pleasure every day. Every day. I'm telling you, there's no life but serving Jesus. It don't matter how bad the world gets around you. Paul said, none of these things move me. It didn't matter how bad they beat Him. Didn't matter how many times they throwed Him in jail. He just went to jail thanking God. Singing and praising. They beat Him up so bad one time, they left Him outside the city for dead. And the disciples prayed for Him. And you know what He did? He got up and started thanking God and going to the next town to tell all the wonderful things that God had done for Him. There is a power in being thankful that's greater than any other thing. Because being thankful is an act of love. And the greatest thing we do is love God. That's what we were created to do. He's always going to love us. But we have to make the choice whether we're going to always love Him. So let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for your wonderful gift of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful gift of life that you gave us. All the love, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you brought to us, we thank you.